From Proverbs chapter 31, verse number 10. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all of the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all of her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is like silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. The title of my message this morning is God's Beauty Queen. You know, we've got a lot of beauty pageants going on all of the time, all over the earth and all over our land, and they're always trying to select the most beautiful woman. So I thought, well, perhaps maybe if I looked in the Word of God, I could see what God has to say about it. So this is what I bring to you this morning, God's Beauty Queen. This is God's beauty contest. This is Mother's Day. There are many beautiful women who would lose out in God's beauty contest. God does not judge according to comeliness or face or form. God does not judge by winsomeness of personalities or abilities to dance or to sing or to act before an audience. God pays no attention to these matters at all. God's beauty queen is described in this passage which we have read together. And here we have the qualities that makes a woman beautiful in the sight of God. Three of them, as briefly as I can, I'd like to leave in passing with you. First of all, we see that God's beauty queen is a woman of character. In verse 25, you'll notice it said, strength and honor are her clothing. The woman beautiful in God's sight has integrity. She has inner strength. She has virtue. She has honor. And she wears these qualities like the garment of a queen. Strength and honor are her clothing. Could anything in this world be more unlovely? Could anything in this world be lacking in beauty than a beautiful woman whose life likes virtue and honor and ideals? Could anything in this world be more unlovely than to see a beautiful woman and yet her life completely void of these things in which God judges? Speaking of beauty, and a beauty that is from within, Peter, the great apostle, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, says, whose adorning, speaking of wives and mothers, let it be the wearing. Notice, let it not be that outward adorning or plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but it let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornaments of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of a great prize. If you'll notice here that Peter describes three characters, three methods of feminine adorning: the hair, the dress, and jewelry. And who among us would say today that a woman, if her hair is fixed beautifully, if she is dressed in a lovely gown, if she has on some nice jewelry, is not beautiful? As we, as individuals, look upon beauty, but unless she is beautiful in her life, in God's sight, God says and declares that she has no beauty at all. God's beauty queen is a woman of character. And we live in a day when character has almost a forgotten word. We live in an hour when our young girls are coming up in this life, are seeing so much portrayed before their eyes that character is something that means nothing to them anymore. But in God's sight, this is the first thing that God looks for. Not the outward adorning. And I've been praying in my heart that somehow God would break through and give us a change. As far as I'm concerned, I've had enough already. And I don't know how much longer God would go with it before He has enough. But in order to break down the morals of a nation, the morals of an individual life, is when the mothers of our land begin to lose their character. And they begin to fling it to the winds. And they only look at that outward appearance. And the beauty of respect to entice in a sinful manner. But God's beauty queen is a woman of character. And praise God, God, even in the midst of this hour in which you and I live, still have this kind of women today. Secondly, I would like you to notice that God's beauty queen is a homemaker. Verse number 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household, and she eateth not the bread of idleness. Now this is what God intended a woman to be, a homemaker. Now today, she is far from what God intended her to be. But if a woman fails here, she fails in that great task that God placed in her hand when she became a mother. These are the characters. God's beauty queen is a homemaker. And some of us can remember when there was very few ladies working in the public. And the moment I said this, there is a little repulsive feeling coming from some of you, because you said, now look, Pastor, if we didn't do that, we couldn't live. Oh, yes, we could. This is one thing is wrong with us. Right now. Amen? Because there's been so much desire for us to obtain the material things of this life, until both of you have got to work nearly night and day, and you're not even able to come to the house of God on Sunday. You're not able to get out there on Sunday for church. You've got to rest all day as much as you possibly can, because the alarm is going off in the morning, and you'll roll out and go to that job because you've got to have it to pay the bill. Amen? A few years ago, one of our American ambassadors to a foreign country was asked to speak to a group on the duty of an American ambassador. And so he accepted the invitation. And he began by saying, "You have asked me to come today to speak to you on the duties of an American ambassador. But first of all, I would like to tell you something about the embassy before I tell you about the duties of the ambassador. I would like to tell you about the embassy in which the ambassador and his family and his fellow workers live. And so he said, the embassy is a little spot of America set down in an alien land. And on its walls we have the pictures of some of the great men that has caused our country to become great. Our former great presidents, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, a number of the other great presidents as he went on to name, and a picture of the current president of the United States on the walls of the embassy. Then he concluded his remarks again by saying that American embassy is a little spot of America set down in an alien land. And when I read this, it gripped my heart, because this is what a Christian home ought to be. Right here in the midst of this crucial hour in which you and I live, a Christian home, thank God, ought to be a little spot of heaven sitting right down here in an alien land. And on its walls should be the pictures of those that warm our hearts, that have fought the battles of life and have won that great race and are beckoning to us to come on today. A place, my friend, where God's laws are supreme and God's laws are observed. It should be, my friend, even though they are disobeyed outside of that home, it should be a place where God is worshipped, though he is ignored on the outside of the home. Every Christian home should be a protecting refuge from the storms of life. And do I need to remind you, do I need to say this morning as I stand before you that the key person in fashioning an old-fashioned home, a Christian home, a little bit of heaven sitting right down here in an alien land today is the mother of that home. Regardless of, you say, well, my husband this, my husband that. But my friend, listen, the responsibility has been given into the hands of the mother. And God has given her of this charge, and that she might see to it, in the midst of it all, she can set up housekeeping and have a little bit of heaven right in an alien land that's dark, without God, without hope. And inside of the walls of that home, she can teach her children the ways of God. She can point them. You say, Pastor, I've done that, and they're not all going that way. But my friend, we're not all home yet. Blessed are the children today who can look back upon such a home as I've described to you. Blessed are the children who can look back upon a mother who thought it was the supreme task of her life to make her home a little spot of heaven here upon the earth. And I appeal to you, Christian friends and Christian mothers today in this congregation, if we ever needed this, we need it today. Oh, God knows how much we need this. That little home where you live, my friend, needs to become a refuge. That little home where your altar is needs to become a place and an atmosphere to where men and women can run from the storms of life that's beating against their bark, and they can come back, thank God, and kneel there before that altar and find that peace and comfort and consolation. Oh, you can build it, Mother. You can build it. Don't let Satan defeat you. Don't let Satan rob you. Don't let him steal from you that thing that God has delivered into your hands. And that responsibility is yours. You can build a little heaven in an alien land. And then let me close in a few moments. That great statesman, Henry Grady, said that he loved, and history says that he loved the nations back together and back to peace after the war between the states. And one day Henry Grady walked with responsibility upon his shoulders before he went to Boston, and he felt that he needed strength that he did not have. And he slipped away from his office and from his duties and wended his way out in the little countryside to a little humble home where inside sat an old-fashioned gray-headed mother rocking an old-fashioned rocking chair. And he said, "Mother, I have come home. I need some help and I need some strength that I don't have. Mother, I want you to once again take me into the old trundle bed this great statesman Henry Grady set and tuck me in as you did when I was a little boy. I want you, Mother, to get down beside that bed and pray for me like I remember you used to pray for me when I was a little boy." And that night, Henry Grady's mother tucked him away. And he said the prayer that she taught him before he went to sleep. The next morning when she called him for breakfast and Henry Grady came, he said, "Mom, before I eat, I want once again for you to sit in the chair. I want once again for you to lay your hands upon my head and pray for me as you did when I was a little boy. Let me tell you, Mom, it may seem that they're going to forget this. It may seem that they're going to drift and your heart is going to bleed. But I want you to know that deep down inside of that heart where the prayer of God that has been offered by the real anointing of the Spirit and a little bit of heaven has been built in an hour of wickedness and trial and darkness such as you and I live. They'll never forget it. And it'll be the strength. God's beauty queen is a homemaker. She may not often wear an evening gown, but she'll often wear an apron. She may be plain of face, and she may be lacking in that radiant physical beauty of which our age is making so much today. But I'm going to tell you, she's lovely and beautiful in the sight of God. And this is what counts. She's a woman of character. She's a homemaker. And I close with this third thought because time is slipping from us. God's beauty queen is a God-fearing woman. In verse number 30, it said, "Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but the woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." God's beauty queen today is a woman that loves the Lord. She is a woman of prayer. She is a woman that honors God within her life above everything else. She points to her children the difference between right and wrong. She looks upon the responsibility to introduce her children to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this woman, our passage says, she shall be praised. And this kind of a mother says that our text, that her children in her latter days shall rise up and she'll call her blessed. I read a few days ago an illustration by Dr. M.A. Jenkins, and he tells one day as he stood in the presence of a man who was noted throughout the area for the dedication of his life to God. And Dr. Jenkins said to him, "Is there an explanation for such an unusual life, lived so completely for God and in God's righteousness and such an example to the whole community?" And in response to this question, this lay Christian told him a moving story that began way back in the early days of his life. And this young lay Christian man said to him, "One night when I was 6 years of age, when I lay sleeping in my little bed, I was awakened by the sound of my mother's voice. And it was a moonlight night, and the moonbeams were streaming through the window," he said, "of my room. He said, my mother was kneeling beside my bed, and as she prayed, I heard her pray, 'Dear Lord, I commit little Ben into thy keeping and care. And dear Lord, after I'm gone, keep him from doing anything or from going anywhere that would make him ashamed of his mother to know it.' And the little boy laying there awake and full of wonder, he said, Mother, where are you going? And why, I want to go with you. And Mom said to him, Now you go to sleep, my darling, for Mother's going away, but you'll not be able to follow her now. But after a while, you can come. And about 3 months, he said, after that, he was made to realize as he stood by an open grave and saw his mother as she was placed in the grave. And that night in his sleep, he woke himself weeping, and his father came in, picked him up, and tried to comfort him as best as he was able to do. The years went by as they're a habit of doing, and this young boy grew up to a young manhood, and he left his home, and he went down into the great city, and he went to school there. And as sometimes it happens, the tragic thing came along. He fell in with the wrong companions, and one night with a group of others, he went out for a night on the town. And he found himself standing with his companions in the front of a door which no man should ever ought to be found standing. It was the doorway to hell. And as he stood there about to enter into that doorway, there flashed into his mind the scene, Dr. Jenkins said, as it occurred many years before. And as he stood there just about to enter that doorway, he was carried back to that little bed. He was carried back to that moonlight night when the moonbeams were streaming through his room. And as he stood there in a daze, he heard that same prayer. Dear God, I commit little Ben into your hand for safekeeping and care. And after I'm gone, oh God, keep him from going anywhere or from doing anything that would make him ashamed to have his mother know it. And instantly his character stiffened, and he came to a decision, and he said, Fellas, I'm not going in. I'm going home. Oh, they taunted him, and they laughed at him, and they said, You're tied to your mother's apron string. He said, Yes, as a matter of fact, I am. And by the grace of God, they'll tie me to a life of purity and honor. Saved by the memory of a godly mother, saved from sinful shame, he made his way back to his room. And there alone that night, on his knees, he wept his way through to a real experience in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, from that day, I've begun to live a life for God's honor and for God's glory. Dr. Jenkins, this is the secret. I'm persuaded this morning as I stand before you that many men and women, many boys and girls today have never come to that altar of decision and have never had that experience and that revelation of Jesus in their heart. They're merely trying to go through life and face life on what they have heard and what they know. And you can never make it. Go to God somewhere. Fall on your knees and weep your way through into the presence of Jesus until he reveals himself to you and gives you an experience of power and grace and glory, thank God, in your life. And it will hold you true when the storms are blowing upon you. Mothers, listen to me. You're careful for the needs of your children. You're careful to see that they have the proper diet. You watch for their health and you hover over them in the time of sickness. And you brood over them as a hen broods over her chickens. And you make sure that they're properly clothed. And you insist upon their learning their lessons. And you insist upon them getting a good education. But there's one other thing that you must not fail to give your children. And you must not fail here, mothers, this morning. And that is to give your children the memory of a mother who loved and honored God in her heart. The memory of a mother whose character stood out, whose strength and honor was her clothing. A memory of a mother who knew how to make a home, a little bit of heaven in an hour such as you and I live in. The memory of a mother that feared God and walked before him and kept his precepts. It'll be the strongest influence toward the keeping of you, the feet of your children, and the way of righteousness before God. God's beauty queen. How does God choose her? How does God judge her? Not by the standards of this world, my friend. She is a woman of character. She's a real homemaker. She is a woman that feareth God. And Mother, let me ask you this morning, how many points, how do you rate in God's beauty contest? And if you don't rate where God wants you to, there's a place. There's a place close by the heart of God. There's a place that He'll draw your soul, and there you can find the comfort and the strength and the consolation you need to carry on the burden that God has placed upon your life. Our Father, we thank You this morning for Your presence. And I pray that the wind of the Holy Spirit shall whisper to the heart of the ones that need You the greatest today. Oh God, in Your beauty contest, that mother that's never been saved, that mother that don't know You this morning, and her children, Lord, are straying far, far, and her heart is already breaking, Lord, but it's only the beginning. It's only the beginning, Lord, of what's going to be. It's only the beginning of how hard her heart is going to break as she sees what is really taking place, because she has failed. She has failed to teach that little one about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. With heads bowed, and just before we sing, Mother, if you haven't accepted responsibility that God has called upon you, if you haven't given your heart to Jesus and been born again today, let me beg of you, as I stand before you on this Mother's Day, your mother may already be gone to heaven. You may have little memory of what she was to you in the past. But what will your children have of you today? Can I invite you, as we stand all together now, to come and make your way to this altar with us today? Kneel somewhere before God this morning and said, God, I'm entering Your beauty contest today. I want You, Lord, to make me a woman of character. I want You to make me a homemaker. I want You to put that in my heart, that I may fear God and walk before Him as we sing. Will you make your way quickly? Would you like to pray with us this morning? Open your heart to God and let Him in. Would you like to say, yes, by the grace of God, I need Him right now. Come on, just as you are, right where you're standing. Accept Him. The door is wide open. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, just kneel. Go to the prayer room, make your way around the front of the altar here. Say, I'd like on this Mother's Day to accept Christ as my Savior. Will you do it? There's room for you. There's room in the hand of Jesus extended to you.